Thank the Lord for you. And I pray that the Lord will just touch each one of us in a way that we don't expect Him to touch, but we don't deserve it. But I'm so thankful that He does touch us, and He does lead us and guide us and direct us. Sister Huff, have you got a song you want to sing? I know you're a little late, but
you want to
yeah, you can.
It's late now. How
huh?
Late is my fault.
Well, I tell you what, we're just going tonight. But it said in this, and I love this last verse, but you know, in the third verse, and I don't know why we don't, but we don't never sing the third verse of any of them anymore that has four verses. And sometimes the third verse has got a better meaning to them than a whole lot of the others. But we seem like that we just don't want to take up too much time. Well, we ain't taking up the Lord's time. We're not taking up the Lord's time, really not. Because I think we need to do what the Lord wants us to do. But it says in the third verse right here, it says, Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmured, nor repined, content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful followers I would be. For by His hands He leadeth me. And He does, He by us. And He's the one that said it. I believe He's the one that says it through the Word of God, that it's through Him. And said the faithful followers. You know, we need to remember that without Him, we cannot do nothing. Without Him, I cannot even stand today. Without Him, I can't even love you. Without Him, I can't even, I just can't fathom what I could do and what I couldn't do. But I tell you one thing, He's the best friend that I've ever known. He's the best friend that I have ever known in my life. I can go to Him and I can tell Him, and I can talk to Him, and I can leave it with Him, and He don't discuss it. He don't go to nobody and tell anybody what me and Him discussed. He just prays for me. And that's, you know, that right there is something in itself, where He says, I will pray for thee. You know, how the Lord will take His time out of the busy, busy schedule that He's got, and He will pray for me. Not just me. He will pray for you in His busy schedule that He has. You know, I don't understand how He could do that. and get everything done. I know that he is all-powerful. He's everywhere. I mean, he's here. He's right here in his service tonight, just like he is in his service overseas in the Philippines. You know, if God can do that, don't you think God can take care of Little Faith Baptist Church? God can take care of Little Faith Baptist Church, I tell you. And I do thank him. I love him tonight more than I ever have before. I know I say that right often here lately, but I do. I love him tonight. And because of what he's done in my life and in my family's life and for leading me here, I thank him. Tonight I want to go back to some familiar verses. And it's in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You know, there's going to be a city, where there's a city that is being organized, has been organized by the Lord. And it's a city that one day that we're going to be able to see. And it's a city that where we're going to be able to enter in. And he says also in his word that after everything's said and done there in heaven, and after the tribulation comes, we're going to come back to earth with him. And it's going to be after that the fire has purified this land, where the fire has went out and got rid of all the underbrush and all the other stuff. But you know something? He also promised us when we come back that he's going to give us a city. He's going to give us a place to where we can rule over. To where we can, how do I put it? That we will have a place that he will place us in. Where we could end up being the leaders in that particular place. I just don't believe that that it's all about and just going home and being there in heaven. I believe we've got a whole lot more to do even after we get home. We've got a whole lot more to do. I mean, it'll take each one of us a long time just to get around to our friends and to around to our loved ones and to have a little talk with them. How many of you have ever heard about where some people have said that when they get to heaven, they're going to ask this question. They're going to ask the disciples this, and they're going to ask maybe Peter this, and all of that. We have all said it. I've said it myself. I've said that when I get to heaven, I want to ask Paul, what was that thorn that was in the side of his flesh? I want to ask Abraham how he felt when he had to go and offer up his son. But you know, I ain't got to look at it that way. You know why? Because just as soon as he has clothed me into his precious garment there, and I have took on the new body that he gave me. I'm going to know the answer to everything that I've ever had a question about. We're going to have the answer. Because he don't want us just to go around and talk to people and say, well, what happened here and what happened there? Why did you do this and why did you do that? No, he don't want us to come up out and be bogged down with that. He wants us there to where we can just praise him. You know, I was reading yesterday, I believe it was, or day before yesterday, and it was talking, I forgot where it was even at, why I was even reading that. But you know, it speaks about his praise. And I said something here the other week about how people today used to worship the Lord, used to come, and they used to worship the Lord. They didn't mind saying amen and agreeing with what the preacher's saying, agreeing with what's going on. They didn't sit back and just, like a knot on the log, and they'd lift their hands up. And they'd say, amen, and praise the Lord. I can remember my grandmother there at home. I can remember going to church with her and down at Arlington Baptist Church. And I can remember when Brother Hill, the pastor at that time, there, I can remember him when he was up there preaching. And I didn't understand none of that, because I was about 6, maybe 7 years old. I didn't understand none of that. But I will never forget in seeing the young ladies, like my grandmother, sitting in church. They start weeping. Woo! Woo! What has happened to the handkerchief? What's happened to it? We've put it away. And when we put the handkerchief away, we've also put our praises away. There's a city that I'm going to one day. Says verse 1 of chapter 14 in the book of John, it says, let not your heart be troubled. He went about teaching and he went about telling people the same thing. He told them, he says, don't allow these things to trouble you to the point that you are bogged down and you cannot worship me. He wanted to be worshiped then, and he still wants to be worshiped today. And he wants us to thank him today. But it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We'll see right here that he's saying, you believe in God. Now, why can't you believe in me? Why can't you believe in me? That's what he's asking us today. You believe in God. There are more people today that knows about God. I mean, they know, well, how is it? No, they know of God, but they don't know anything about him. They don't know how close that they can get to him. And they think that they can just go and follow up and do this and that. But that's not it. It says we must believe in God. If we believe in God, can't we believe in the Lord Jesus? And if we believe in the Lord Jesus, can't we believe in the Holy Spirit? Because it's the Holy Spirit that introduced us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, after He saved us, He introduced us to the Father. They've got their own specific duties to do. And it says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. No, it don't say that, does it? In my Father's house are many mansions. What He's saying there, He says, in the Father's house. The Father's house is in the third heaven. That's the Father's house. It covers everything. It's all around us. But in my Father's house, there are many mansions. You know, you take a motel, hotel. Yeah, they got one specific building that they started when they built it. And they built that one building. And when they built it, had four walls there. But they didn't just stop there. Then it started adding rooms to them. Them rooms, the reason they started having them rooms to them, to where they could occupy more than one or two people. But He ain't building no rooms. He's building us a mansion. What is that mansion going to look like? I don't know. Only thing I know is we're going to be there with Jesus. We're going to be there with the one that made it all possible. We're going to be there with the one that saved my soul. We're going to be there with Him, the one that went to Calvary. And He is there in heaven. And I don't think it's just Him. I believe that He's got some of His most important carpenters there in heaven. Anybody that knows anything about carpentry knows that has to be a gift to come from God. That has to be a gift that comes from God. And other things that we do, it's something from the Lord, where He has touched us and He's given us the mind and He's given us the ability to be able to do it. To be able to do it in a way that where we bring His Son honor and glory. I'm looking for that city one day. I'm looking to be there. It says over in the book of Titus, I'm going to turn now just for a second. Come on, pages. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He's telling us we need to look for him. He's coming back. He's closer today than he was yesterday. He said, well, preacher says, I've heard it all my life. I heard my mother talking about it. I heard my father talking about it, that he's coming back. He's coming back soon. He is. There's no lie to that. He's coming back. And he's coming back, I believe, not too long from here. Because it does speak about this generation. It does speak about when all these things come to pass. Look up. Our Redeemer draweth nigh. Look up. And there's nothing else that needs to be fulfilled. That we've seen everything that he has said in the Word of God has come to pass. The only thing that hadn't come to pass is the blowing of that trumpet. And one day, very soon, we're going to be able to hear that trumpet. And I think it's going to be the saddest time for a whole lot of people. It's going to be our saddest time when a whole lot of people that's in church, and when they see this one, oh, there was that during Sunday school. Where are they at now? Oh, they done left us. They done went home. They didn't want to stay. Where's the preacher at? He was here this morning. I knew he couldn't handle it. It ain't that I couldn't handle it. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't got tired of handling it. He didn't got tired of that old serpent. He didn't got tired of Satan trying to kill his children spiritually. I know that he cannot take our life unless the Lord permits it. I know that. But he can attack us spiritually. And he does at times. He does. And he attacks me spiritually at times. Why? To get my mind off of doing something for the Lord. Get my mind all for doing something for the Lord. Says over here in the book of Timothy, the second book of Timothy, chapter number three, and verse 1. And it's speaking about the apostasy that has been predicted. Paul wrote this down back in 66 A.D. after the death of our Lord and Savior. And I want to read this to you, and I'm going to ask you a question afterwards. The apostasy predicted the believer's resource, the scripture. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, and incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And what I just read, hasn't all of that, haven't we seen all of that to come to pass? Don't we see where men, they lovers of men like to do their own selves? The ladies, they're lovers of the other ladies that, well, not they're not ladies, they're women, but all that's come to pass. And I said something here, I think it was the last year, I believe it was, speaking about this and speaking about the coming of the Lord. You know, John the Baptist, he was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back then. Because says in the word that he knew about the Messiah. He knew about the Lord Jesus. When he was still in his mother's womb. And the same thing says to John and said to some others. But now, we have seen where Obama, which is the president of the United States of America, he has been the forerunner of Satan. He has been the forerunner. He's going to usher in. He's not the Antichrist, like some people say he is. I don't believe he's the Antichrist. But I do know this. Everything that I've just read, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blaspheming, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, that right there tells me one thing. That Obama to Satan is what John the Baptist was to the Lord. Satan wants to do his work. And he's going to do it until he has that great big old chain wrapped around his neck. And when he has a great big old chain wrapped around his neck, and he's going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to bow before him, and he's going to confess that he is the King of Kings He's the Lord of Lords. He's going to confess that. All the people that says, well, there ain't no God in heaven. They're wrong. One day they're going to wish they had listened. One day they're going to wish that they had obeyed the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit came and knocked on their heart's door. So many people today just think that they got all the time in the world. So many people today think, well, I can go out here and sow my wild oats and I can do this today and I can do that. We can do them. We can go out here and we can sow our wild oats. But as we're doing it, even though we may be saved, look at all the blessings that the Lord Jesus Christ has took and he's got them stored away. Because we was not willing to heed and to listen. Because once we give him up, once we give that blessing up, that blessing can never come our way again. You know, Paul talks about the fear of God. Others talk about the fear of God in the Word of God. We need to have the fear of God on us to where that we know that if I go out there and if I don't wait and maybe catch him when he's leaving the group, and if I just go on in the group and meet him and start talking to him. No, I fear God that much because I cannot take on the devil. I cannot take on Satan. See, he wants to take me on. He wants to take you on. He wanted to take Job on. But he couldn't handle it. He could not even handle it. And what did he do to Job? Satan, the devil, he come and asked the Lord. Says, Lord, I want your servant, Job. The devil knew who he was because he called him God's servant. He says, I want your servant called Job. What did the Lord say to him? The Lord told him, says, okay, devil. I'm going to allow you to attack Job. I'm going to allow you to do everything you want to him, but you cannot take his life. What did he call Job? A righteous man. He stayed faithful unto God. He feared God so much that he would not even give the devil any kind of indication at all that if the devil would just do something that would ease the pain and everything. Job, on his body, he was filled with sores, boils. Now, I don't know of anybody today that has ever been like that, that has ever faced anything like that. But you know, Job, he did. Job was willing to go and take the coal the way he done built the fire. Because it must have been in the cool of the night. because he had a fire going. But evidently Job, he knew that that was the only way that he could get in relief. I mean, have you ever been in a situation that if something was around the way you could get a hold to, that would just ease the pain, you would take it and you would use it? Job went there and he stirred the coal up and he got the coals just as red hot. Red hot. The way they was glowing. And Job went and he sat down on the coals. And his wife says, "Honey, why don't you just curse God and die?" Some people say that was an awful thing for his wife to say, curse God and die. But you have to realize what kind of position that she was in. That was her helpmate. That was her husband. That was her lover. That was going through all of that at that time. And she just wanted him to be out of agony, be out of pain. You know, I've been to the hospital and I've been where the family would be there, and they would be by this bedside of a loved one there, and where the doctors and the nurses has come by and told them, said, "Ain't gonna be much longer. Ain't gonna be much longer." And that loved one that's been there, suffering with all the pain. We don't know exactly what all they suffered. We don't know all the pain that they had. But we know they had pain because you could see the expression on the face change. But then, when the family members come by, and then they get together and they go down to the chapel, or they gather around the bed of the loved one and they all pray. And the family, they pray and says, "Lord, we are not really ready to give her up or give him up, Lord. But he's in so much pain. And I know that he's going and he's going to be with you. I know that he's going to be there. I know that she's going to be there. And I know that you're going to help us get through it. Just ease the pain. Just ease the pain. Take it away from her. Take it away from him. My stepfather, there in the hospital, saved. But he had liver cancer. And he'll live about 3 weeks after the doctors had told him. My mother, she did not want to give him up. She cried and she begged God not to take him. But when he took his last breath, you could see the peace that come upon his face. That right there is something to behold, to see the peace of God come upon the individual's face. Why? Because they are not no more pain. Why? Because the last breath that they took and the last breath that he took on this side of eternity, the next breath he took, he was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my mother, she didn't want to give him up. She said, "Lord, is it that? So God, and it's something else you can do. Is there any kind of surgery that they can do? Any kind of medication that they can give him? I don't want to give him up." We don't want to give up our loved ones. I don't know of anybody that really wants to give up our loved ones. It don't make no difference how faithful that we are to God and how close we are to God. And how close that they've been to God. And how faithful they've been to God. We still, humanly, we don't want to give them up. That is the human nature. But when he took his last breath, I had prayer and the nurse come in and they said, "Well, if you go into this other room." We all went over to the other room and they was discussing about who to come and pick the body up. And I told my mother and I told my brothers, I said, "I'm going back in now. I'll be back in a few minutes." When I went back in that room, the peace of God just filled that room. I mean, just filled that room. I know because I know that he won't die. I knew he won't die. And God was just reassuring me that he's okay now. Hey, that city that he went to is beautiful. We don't know what it looks like. Only thing we're going to do is just imagine what it may look like by the scripture. But I think it's going to be better than that. Because our little finite mind cannot comprehend what heaven and what that city is going to be like. We're going to be walking on Main Street. It's not but one street there. It's not going to be like a city that where you got streets going this way and streets going that way. No, it's not but one street. And that one street is paved with pure gold. It's pure gold that is upon this street. And I said something right there that I'm going to back up and I'm going to tell you I shouldn't have said it. I said it was paved. No, it's not paved. The streets there is not paved. Because see, when a street or when anything is paved, when the parking lot, if we go out here and in the next couple of years we get a hold of the money and we go out there and have the parking lot paved, we're going to look at one or two ways. We're going to look at it one way that we're not going to have no cracks in the pavement. And then another way that we can look at it, while they are paving it. They are paving it so thick. And they're not going past that thickness. He says in heaven,
The gold is likened to transparent glass, to where we can be able to see ourselves in it. I mean, hey, you know the reason I know that he hadn't come yet? It's because he hasn't welcomed me home yet. You know the reason you ain't left yet? Because he hasn't put out the welcoming sign for you and for me. He puts out a welcoming sign for each one of his children. You come on in. All your troubles is gone. All your troubles is gone. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also you can believe in me. The city that I'm going to is, I cannot describe it. And I wouldn't even want to try to describe it, because I would not even give it any kind of justice at all. You know why? Because my little finite mind cannot comprehend what it looks like. I thank the Lord that He's put that in my heart. That I'm looking for my blessed hope. If it don't come today, then tomorrow. I'm looking and I'm expecting my blessed hope to come tomorrow. And that's the way we should be. We should all be like that. And if we did, we'd really be doing more for the Lord. We'd be doing what we could. You say, preacher, says I've done all I can do. I'm up in age now. I can't do with so much. Hey, there's one thing that we can all do, and that's pray. I mean, there's power in prayer. And if we pray in the right way, then we don't have to do anything else, because I know the Lord is going to bless that prayer. Looking for that city. Yes, I'm looking for that city. Are you? Are we all looking for it?
We need to be. We're not. And I believe that you're looking for that city. And I believe that you're longing to see it. Because I don't know of an individual that's in here tonight that don't have a loved one that's not over there. Yes, we got loved ones. We got friends on the other side. We got some more friends, and we got more family members here on earth. I got some family members here on earth, and I'm not really 100% sure that they're saved. But I don't know their heart, but the only thing I know is that they're not living the life that would be pleasing unto the Lord. And I'm not supposed to talk bad about them. I'm not supposed to condemn them. I'm supposed to love them. It was something this morning I was going to read, and I forgot to read it, but it was over there.
in the book of Mark, I believe it was, where the Lord, He told us exactly how we must treat our brother, how we must treat each other. For that individual that hates me, that despises me, that probably they looking all the time for the devil to attack me. They hate me. But I don't hate them. I'm not supposed to hate them. I'm supposed to love them with the love that God has given me. See, I can't love them with my own love, but I can love them with the love of God. Everyone stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, that one day that we're looking for that city. And Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that that city is going to come about. And Father, that we're going to all be there in that city. When we get the welcome sign out there, He's going to welcome us all home. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you for this church. Father, I thank you for Faith Baptist Church. Lord Jesus, that you'll be with it. And Father, that you may just touch the people that's here tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord, that not only you will touch them, but touch the other people that has come, that has visited the church, Father, and they haven't been back to visit no more. Father, my prayer is, Lord Jesus, that you will just bless them. Speak to the heart spiritually, Father, we pray. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will bring us some more people. Father, we need some more people here in the church. We need some people that will help us take up the slack, Lord. And Father, help us to where we can all go together and Father, visit and we can all talk about your precious love. And Father, we just want to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.